I'm one of the two luckiest pastors in the whole world. I have to share that lucky position with my wife, but we have a very, very cool church. Very, very happy to get to be a part of this. So thank you all for being here. Finishing up last week on this book of Proverbs, and it's a book about wisdom, about how to live life well, about how life works best. And for any of that have been in those moments in life where we have to look back on those and chalk those up as learning experiences, and we think, dear God, I don't want another learning experience in my life, the book of Proverbs is for us. Any of us that have had those moments of grief and of heartache and of loss, or even seen other people heading down a path that we know from our own experience is going to lead to grief and heartache and loss. And we wish that we could somehow get them to listen to us, somehow get them to take a page out of our own experience so they could save their own selves. But they're just not listening. That Proverbs, this book, is for us. It's such an incredible, incredible gift from God and from people from thousands of years ago, passed down to us to teach us how to live this life well, how to avoid those situations that lead to grief and to heartache and to loss. And some people like to say when Christians talk about the Bible, they think, well, what that stuff is so antiquated. 3,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, what can a bunch of goat herders from 5,000 years ago teach us about anything? But the interesting thing about human beings is that we haven't changed all that much in the last few thousand years. And so the same stuff that they talk about in Proverbs, people doing over and over again, guess what? You and I do that over and over again. And so these people that have gathered this wisdom, that have been there and done that, and they wrote it down to say, hey, I've been there, done that. Take a lesson from this. Learn from me. Learn from my experiences. That stuff is a gift to us today, just as much as it was back then. It's a gift from God. The image that we've been using through this series is an image of a train on its tracks. Go to the next slide, Sam. Because on a train on its tracks, like, that's life being lived well. Hey, there's a track that God says, hey, this is wisdom. This is how to live life well. This is what it looks like when you're just sailing down the tracks, you know? And unfortunately, there's this thing in all of us where we want to say, yeah, but I want to live, I want to be free, like off the rails. I want to plan my own way. And so we hop the rails and then it goes, looks a lot like this. And when we run off the rails, it doesn't like the scream of freedom that we thought that it might be. Woo, freedom! We're stuck in the dirt, right? How many of us have done that? Where we think, hey, I'm going to go it my own way. I'm going to make my own path. I'm going to forget the wise things to do, and I'm going to hop the rails, and we get stuck in the dirt, you know? And we have to once again chalk that up as one of those learning experiences. Never did that? Oh. Notes from Ann Jeanette here. And Carrie threw in this this really, really, really great illustration. You can go to the next slide, Sam. There, that's fine. Yeah. Really great illustration on top of this last week. Because wisdom, to say that wisdom is how life is lived well, and we're always looking for us being the exception. You know, like, oh yeah, I get that, but I'm the exception. So like crossing the street, great illustration. We know, hopefully mama taught us that you look both ways when you cross the street, right? It's not a rule, it's not a law, you're not going to get arrested if you don't look both ways when you cross the street, but it's a bit of wisdom, right? That life generally works better when you look both ways before you cross the street. And so one of the things that you and I do is that we always think, well, I know people that they just walk right across the street and they've been fine, you know? Or I'll just walk, I don't have to look both ways, I'm just going to walk across the street and I'll be fine. And you know what? Sometimes you will be the exception. You will walk across that street and you will not get hit by a car. But sometimes, if you make a life habit of walking across the street, sometimes the first time that you walk across the street without looking both ways. You get hit. Only takes one time. And for some people, they walk across the street a dozen times before they get hit. Sometimes it's the first time that somebody puts their foot out onto the street without looking both ways that they get run over. That's just how life works. And so life works better when we know, when we follow wisdom that God wants to give us. And learning wisdom from God, learning wisdom from people that have come before us, sure, get the hard way, right? So that's what this book is about. It's an incredible, incredible gift. And another neat thing about it is it's not complicated. Proverbs is not complicated. You read it and it generally just makes sense, you know? But there's one thing that I want to explain this morning that I think just makes this book come alive, like once you know this one thing. And if you know this, then it just kind of opens up the book so that you can put it into use as far as like saving your life, yourself from heartache and from regret, and sometimes even death. And it's to understand what these four people are that Proverbs keeps talking about. If you come to breakfast, which most of the people in here have not come to our men's breakfast, but like if you come to our men's breakfast back when Brian Rodagero was lived around us, was part of the church, we would talk about something in life, and then he would always kind of sum it up with saying, "Well, that's basically because there's two kinds of people in the world," and then he would make a statement about two kinds of people. Usually, Proverbs is saying there's four kinds of people in the world. And if you understand what Proverbs is saying about these four kinds of people, then Proverbs and life starts to make a whole lot of sense. And you walk through life, you read things, you check your Facebook stuff, and you're like, uh-huh, yep, number one, number four, number three, yep, uh-huh. So here it is. The first person that Proverbs is really talking about, or at least the order I'm going to put it in, they don't look both ways when they cross the street. Because they don't think that they need to, or they think that it's okay, or they don't know that it's important to look both ways when you cross the street. And in fact, if a wise person sees this person about to step into the street, and a wise person screams at them and says, "Stop! Don't you know you're supposed to look both ways before you cross the street?" This person is going to. The problem is, this crazy person yelling at me and telling me that I have to look both ways before crossing the street. Don't you know that I'm going to be okay, that it's fine, you're overreacting, you're making it too big of a deal. Anybody that's ever known teenagers can probably raise their hand on that one. You're making it too big of a deal. You're the real problem. You're blowing this out of proportion. I'm just walking across the street. See, these people, Proverbs calls them simple. We would probably call them naive. And they're naive, and we've all been naive, because naive means that you lack experience. So we come into this world lacking experience. And in any area of life that we don't have experience in, we are naive. We lack judgment. We lack experience. These people, they don't know what they don't know. And since they don't know what they don't know, then they assume that they know all that they need to know. Because they don't know what they don't know. And so they think that the wise person saying, "Look both ways when you cross the street," is just a crazy person that is really just blowing things out of proportion. So if a simple person, if a naive person, if they come to church and they hear a pastor say, "You don't have sex with people that you're not married to," they think, "You're just blowing things out of proportion. You're making too big of a deal. Get real, pastor." But the reason they think that is because they've never put their arm around a grown man as he sobbed with regret over sleeping with somebody that he wished that he hadn't. They've never sat across the table from a woman that shared her life story, and part of that is that it was ruined in so many ways when she was 18 because she slept with her boyfriend who she didn't know and he didn't know at the time had syphilis, which meant that she became infertile and she couldn't have children. And she didn't find that out for years later. Sometimes some people cross the road a lot of times before they get hit. Some people get hit the first time they put their foot on the street. So the naive would think, "You're just blowing things out of proportion. You're overreacting," because they don't know. They're naive. They don't know what they don't know. You know, and they would think the same thing over debt. You know, Proverbs says the borrower is slave to the lender. But young people who are naive, they don't know, they don't have the experience of knowing how easy it is to get debt and how to pay off $5 or $10 or $20 or $100,000, and how much that makes a slave of you. They just don't know, and they don't know what they don't know. They lack experience. Proverbs says that when the simple see other people, let me say this first. Proverbs says when the naive or the simple see danger, they just keep on going and they suffer consequences. We've seen this in ourselves. We've seen it in other, like, well, once you have the experience to know, like, what the danger signs look like, and you see other people just walking past the danger signs, I'm heading into the dark alley, you know, they're like, no, no. They walk past all the danger signs and straight into the consequences and into suffering. Proverbs also says that the simple see other people punished or facing the consequences for their actions, and they learn wisdom. When simple people, when naive people see other people or even face the consequences for their actions, they learn wisdom. So the solution for naivety is really two things. One is just praying to God and saying, God, even though I don't understand everything that you're saying, everything that you would teach me to do, even though I don't agree with you, everything that you would teach me to do about money and relationships and sex and morals and values and all those sort of, even though I may not agree and I don't always understand because in my naive mind it just doesn't make sense, I'm going to go with what you say. I'm going to go with what you say. I'm going to trust you more than what my eyes can see. And what happens when we do that is that God walks beside us in our life and mentors us through our naivety. And then we can look back and say, I am so thankful that I stuck with what you said instead of having to learn through experience and learn through suffering. The good news with being naive when we're in this spot is that as soon as we realize that we're naive, guess what? We're not naive anymore. We have become what Proverbs calls prudent. Prudent. Thoughtful, someone who gives thoughtful care to the future. So if you're naive, you're not giving thoughtful care to the future. But a naive person, just because what they don't know, they can begin to give thoughtful care to the future. What this means for parents is that we need to let our children face consequences early on, the small stuff, face consequences. And if we keep shielding them and shielding them and shielding them from consequences, then there will come a day where there are consequences we can't shield them from that are too big. And we wish that they had learned wisdom and judgment early on so that they wouldn't be facing this big thing. We need to let our kids face consequences. And we need to let them see other people face their consequences. I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to bring people, our kids to church so that they can talk to other people that have lived life and can say, you know what? These are the things that I did, and this is how they worked out and how they didn't work out. Learn from me. Grow in wisdom. These are the consequences. When our kids get older, I think I'm going to sneak them, go across town and sneak them into like some AA meetings or 12-step stuff, because those things are so great. And as people talking about the consequences, that life has consequences. And one of the things that young people need to see, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever it might be, they need to see that life has consequences and see real people that aren't just their mom and dad talking about that. So that's our one person. But we're the simple or the naive person, they just don't know what they don't know. This other person called the fool, they know, they just don't care. They know that it's a rule to not, or that's a wise thing to look both ways when you cross the street. They just don't care. They're going to cross it anyway. They don't want to be bothered with that wisdom. They don't want to be bothered with some rule. They want to just do what they want to do, and they don't care. I want to do what I want to do. There's no new information that you can give to a fool because they already know. They already know. You could tell a fool like, hey, don't you realize that like if you did manage your money the way that God says to manage money, then you would feel better about money and you would actually own it more than it owning you, that you will be happier and more content and those sorts of things, that God's not out to ruin you. Don't you realize? And they would say, yeah, but I don't care. Either in their actions or their attitudes or even in their words, they would say, I heard that. I completely understand. I don't care. Same thing with marriage. Same thing with relationships. Same things with the way that we do business. They would say, I completely understand. I know. You can't tell me anything that I don't know. I just don't care. They are a fool. Fools are people that they come to church and they hear lessons from Scripture about how to live life well, and they go out and they don't change anything. Stuff stays the same. They just keep going back and keep going back and keep repeating and keep repeating. And so Proverbs says, Carrie quoted this last time, that as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. And so just keeps going back and back and back, ignoring what God has to say, and says, I don't care. I know it all. Maybe I was born in church and raised in church my whole life, heard it, seen it, done it, been there. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Here's a tricky fools. Proverbs says that a fool rejects wisdom and brings them ruin. Sometimes for a fool, Proverbs says it's kind of like a sport to them, to a fool, that they enjoy it, that it's fun, that there's something kind of funny about it, that them going their own way, just life of chance. But here's the real scary thing about being a fool is that Proverbs says that the consequences for our foolishness are visited on those around us. The companion of fools suffers loss. A fools bring heartache to their mother and to their father, bring grief. So if you are a fool that you completely understand and you just don't care, know this, that it is your children, it is your friends, it is your parents that will pay the consequences. And not because they're fools. They'll pay the consequences because they care about you. They care about you. And Proverbs says the only solution for a fool is to become weary of their suffering. They suffer. Maybe it's in tangible ways. Maybe it's just in darkening of their own souls. They suffer. Like a dog returning to his vomit, they suffer. But the only cure for a fool is just to get weary of their suffering. And sometimes in getting... So one of the things that we can do if this is where they're at, is that we can just let them go to their suffering. Let them suffer the consequences of their decisions. And anytime we stand in the way of that, we're standing in the way of them getting right with God, with them getting on the right path, on the rails. Sometimes, here's a tricky thing though with fools, that sometimes experiencing the consequences of their decisions, of their foolishness, sometimes it drives them back to God and says, I don't want any more of this. God, I'm going to trust you more than what my eyes can see. You're going to be the God of my life and not me. I'm going to begin to care and I'm going to do things your way. You're God and I'm not. But sometimes what it can do is it can drive a fool to be angry with God and resentful and to hate God, hate Christians, to hate people who are wise, to hate wisdom. The consequences for a fool can sometimes drive them to be something else, can drive them to be what Proverbs calls a mocker or a scoffer. So as the simple, they don't know what they don't know. And the fool knows, but they just don't care. The mocker knows and hates wisdom, hates the wise, hates God. They're angry. They have an angry and arrogant attitude towards God and towards wise people and towards wisdom. They have an axe to grind. They think that people who trust God more than their eyes can see are stupid, are narrow-minded, are naive, and dangerous. These people are mockers, are wise in their own eyes. They have decided that they are judge and jury of everyone. They're judge and jury of everybody for their hypocrisy. They're judge and jury people for their beliefs. They are particularly judgmental of the judgmental, you know, for being judgmental. These people, mockers rarely come to church because they know better. They're better than those people. Sometimes they do, but they rarely come to church. And sometimes when fools who have been coming to church shift and they become mockers, maybe they might stay around for a little bit, but typically they leave. When mockers come to church, they have a hard time making it all the way to their car or making it all the way on a walk down the end of the driveway without erupting an array of criticism and judgmentalism. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe she preached that. How narrow-minded. How stupid. How naive to say that you should only have sex with people that you're married to. How dumb to say that the debtor is slave to the lender. How stupid, how naive. Have a heart. If they have somebody in the car with them, that's what they'll talk about on the way home. If there's nobody in the car on the way home with them, then they're going to pick up the phone and call. Oh my goodness, I can't believe. Can't stand people like that. There you go. There you go, Tony. Yeah. I feel so judgmental of the judgmental. Can't stand those people. If you teach a mocker anything, Proverbs says that the mocker will resent you. They will resent you and hate you. So the only thing, the solution for the mocker, sad thing, is just to drive them out, to alienate them. And this is a little tricky because we're people of grace and love and those sorts of things. But I've seen this with, Proverbs says this, and I've seen this with drug addicts, that the best thing that their family can do for them, instead of like caring for them and those sort of things, is just drive them out, and that maybe on the cold, hard pavement, on the dark street, that maybe that they will find humility and be able to hear God's voice and say, God, you are God and I am not, and I am so tired of laying my sorry tail down on this cold asphalt. I'm going to do things differently. So many people have found redemption that way. And a mocker, if you keep them in your camp and in your group and in your family, that they'll just tear everybody else down and they'll tear the family apart. So the reason why mockers can't turn around is not because grace and mercy and forgiveness and kindness is not offered to them, God or God's people. It's because they can't receive it. Any sort of kindness, any sort of hand that you reach out to them, they chop off. There's no hope for them because they refuse hope, because they ridicule all help. Well, down, they treat wisdom with contempt until they just can't see what's being held out to them anymore. In the text that Claire read, the author of Proverbs is saying, Lady Wisdom is calling out into the streets, calling out into the streets. But mockers can't hear them and have turned away from them. And so they're going to reap what they've sown. Then the fourth person is the person that Proverbs hopes that all of us will move to, that all of us will become. It's the wise person. And despite what the mocker thinks, wise people are not people who think that they are better than other people. Wise people are people who are just grateful to God. for what God has done in their lives. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the text we read, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And another thing, people who are not Christians sometimes criticize Christians and say, oh, well, you're going to be good because you're scared that God's going to burn you alive. But that's not, for me, that's nowhere near, like, that doesn't rake in the top anything of what motivates me as a Christian. When I hear this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I think about my grandfather teaching me about guns, that we were out in the woods, and I know that guns are dangerous, and my grandfather's putting a rifle, explaining a rifle and putting it in my small hands, you know, and this thing's heavy. And he said, are you scared? And I said, yes. He said, and he said, well, good. He said, you should never stop being afraid of a gun and what it can do, and you'll be okay. You never stop being afraid of a gun and what it can do. And the day that you start treating it lightly, start treating it with contempt, with disrespect, you're going to run into problems. And that's rule number one. And so I think when I hear the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I hear this little lesson from my grandfather from up in the mountains, out in the woods, that we have to have having a deep respect for God and who God is and who we are, never taking God lightly, never taking God, holding God with any sort of contempt. That is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that God is God and that we are not is the beginning of wisdom, and that wise people get that. Wise people are people who seek wisdom, who do what is right, who trust God, who obey God beyond what their eyes can see. And they don't feel superior to the simple. They don't feel superior to the mocker. They feel grateful for the heartache and the grief that God has saved them from and brought them out of by offering them the gift of wisdom. And sometimes even shielding them from paying the full price, the price that maybe other people have paid for the same things that they've done. So which one are you? The simple, the fool, the mocker, the wise. I think all this is one of those things where none of us fit so comfortably in either one of these spots, but can kind of identify with all of these. All of us have for sure been naive and are still naive in places because we don't have experience in everything. But I want to read, knowing what you know now, I want to read again what Claire read. And I want you to hear anew what Proverbs is saying to us about these four different people. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding and proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, and I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disgrace all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when disaster and trouble overwhelms you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge that did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm. I don't know about you, but that part sounds good to me. I would like to live in ease, live in safety, and be at ease without fear of harm. And that is what God, that is what Lady Wisdom, that is what all the people that have come before us are basically begging us to take hold of. Learn from me, listen to me. Live life as it was meant to.